You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, it's Mozzie here. I don't have much experience when it comes to rallying, but Waukesha Racing Services does. And they're available now for your rally needs. They can help you with engines, design, paint, machining, fabrication. No job is too big or too small. There's CNC machines, 3D printers, a chassis build shop, and paint and engine shop that you can utilize. And you don't need to be an Aussie champion or factory back to be able to. From club to state to national level competitors and car owners, let Waukesha Racing Services help you with your rally needs. Call now on 1300 W Racing or email services@waukeshawracing.com.au.
Hello, my name's Luke Whitten. Welcome to the Special Stage Rally Podcast. Peter Whitten, how are you?
I'm going well, thanks, Luke. How about yourself?
Yeah, quite well, thank you. The state championships have kicked off. Glenn Brinkman and Adrian Stratford were the winners at the weekend. You were at the Mitter Mountain Rally, taking photos, doing everything as you should be. Peter, how was it?
It was a great event, Luke. It was a nice way to start the Victorian Championship. It was also a round of the Victorian Club Series and also the East Coast Classic Rally Series. A big field of 56 cars, dry and dusty conditions, a bit of a late summer down here in Victoria. So the weather was about 28, 29 degrees, but the dust didn't seem to be too much of a problem.
Good weather, though. And I think it was good weather in Queensland as well for their state round. So it's a really positive way to start the season, and to have two successful events run well, it was nice to see.
It sure was. And Queensland, as we said last week, they've had a bit of a rough time over the last couple of years with COVID and obviously a lot of their events getting washed out in the last 12 months. So good to see their championship up and running first time.
After those events, or particularly after the Mitter Mountain Rally, a few competitors headed north to Canberra to test some different cars on Monday. That was a couple of days ago now as we record this one. Josh Redhead was the one in particular that really sort of stood a few people up and thought, wow, Josh might be driving this car moving forward. What was that car, Peter?
Yeah, well, he at the Mitter Mountain Rally, he was the top seed, and he had quite a few problems in his Mitsubishi Lancer Evo. Ended up finishing fourth, won the first stage, but sort of had some trouble after that. But as you mentioned, Luke, he went to Canberra on Monday and test drove the Hyundai i20 G4 that Nathan Quinn has driven over the past couple of years. A car that I think is owned by Ray Winwood-Smith, and Ray has been navigating for Josh in the New South Wales Championship. So they got together in that car, and I chatted to Josh on Monday after the test, and he was just blown away by it. He said it was an awesome piece of kit.
Even though the running gear is quite similar, not for Josh's car, which is clearly an older Evo, but for an Evo 9 or an Evo 10 to move up to a G4 car, yes, it's in a completely different body shell, but the engine and drivetrain and stuff is all the same. So the step is completely different simply just on the body shell, which is the way it's going.
It is, yeah. And I think Josh mentioned that the brakes and the suspension were way better than what he's ever experienced before.
Yeah.
So they've now got a bit of a decision to make. I mean, he's very keen to run the car at the Rally of Canberra in a few weeks' time. I think that'll all come down to funding, though. So it'd be wonderful to see a talented driver like Josh in that car, the Rally of Canberra, whether he does the ARC component or just the first round of the New South Wales Championship, which coincides with that rally. We'll wait and see.
So he does have the opportunity to drive at the Rally of Canberra, yes? So Quinny's not doing the Rally of Canberra?
No, Quinny, as far as I'm aware, is Quinny's not doing anything ARC-wise this year. He'll do the Rally of the Heartland at the end of April in his Mazda. There's also talk of him doing the Silver Fern Rally in his Mazda or maybe even an Escort at the end of the year. That's in New Zealand. So a bit of a different year for Quinny.
Some news early in the week as well. Japanese driver and the only Japanese man to win a round of the WRC, Kenjiro Shinazuka. He passed away early in the week, Peter. You have a lot of memories from him, which would have started in the 1970s. Is that right?
Yeah, it did, Luke. Yeah. back in the early 1970s, I think 76, 77, our family used to go on holidays to Port Macquarie to visit the Southern Cross Rally, and Kanjiro came out two or three times to do that event. And ironically, his co-driver at the time was Gary Connolly, who went on to become the head honcho of Rally Australia. But yeah, Kanjiro was a very, very popular driver. And I guess he was the precursor to Nobuhiro Monster Tajima, who came out in the 1990s and did some events out here. So, but yeah, as you mentioned, he passed away at the age of 75. He had a battle with pancreatic cancer at the end, and sad to see him go like that. But as you mentioned, he did win two rounds of the World Rally Championship. He was Asia Pacific Rally Champion in 1988, and he was also a Dakar Rally winner. So he did pretty much everything and was a real long distance rally specialist.
He won that Ivory Coast Rally a couple of times, which are his World Rally Championship wins. Was he a fast driver? I know he's been in Australia a number of times over the years and competed in rear-wheel drive Lancers to VR4s and stuff as the years move on. Was he fast, and was he competitive on the shorter events too?
Well, I think anybody at that level is fast. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he probably didn't have the out and out speed of some of his opponents, but he did finish top three in Asia Pacific Rally Championship rounds. He won a couple of them. He finished top five a couple of times in the Southern Cross Rally. So while he did have the speed, the endurance type of events that were probably more prevalent back in the 1970s. 1980s, they were more his forte, and to go on and win things like the Ivory Coast, which was similar to the Dakar Rally in terms of the country that it was in and the conditions that the competitors faced, and then to go on and win Dakar was a pretty astronomical performance.
This time next week, we'll be talking in a bit more depth about the Safari Rally, which will be happening over the Easter weekend. Kanjiro was a guy who did that a number of times, and the really endurance aspect of that rally was part of why he was so successful there. There's been some confirmation and some further reports over the rally media and the rally websites and whatnot that we read and we subscribe to, Peter, that the snorkels are going to be back and that the rains might become an issue. So it's going to be a more endurance type safari rally, and I think it's quite fitting that it's going to be like that.
I think so. And, yeah, we did see some footage in the last couple of days of Toyota testing the Yaris in some really wet and muddy conditions with the snorkel. And it remains to be seen whether we see those conditions on the Safari Rally this year when the event is run over the Easter weekend. But at least the teams are prepared. And hopefully over the next two or three years, we'll see the Safari revert back to a bit more of an event like what it was in the 1980s and 1990s when, as you say, it was a lot more of an endurance event.
Between now and when the podcast will go live next week, we'll be in attendance at the Petters Rally Team launch. Scott Petter and his team are inviting a whole bunch of media people and clearly close sponsors and supporters of the team to an event near Warragul in Victoria next Tuesday. So when we talk on the podcast next week, we'll be able to chat in depth about that and maybe include some audio if we can with Scott and to see how he's going with that car, because clearly there'll be some rides and whatnot for those important people that are part of the team. But it's also going to be nice to talk to him about how the event and how the events are going to run for him this year, because it's not only just the rally events that he's running, it's a whole heap of things surrounding his Petters brand and whatnot. So that event will be run next week, and I think it's a really good thing that there's a launch event for that team, and it really lifts the professionalism, I think, of what the Australian Rally Championship will be.
Yeah, and I think Scott understands that really well in terms of with his involvement in the Petters empire, that marketing and promotion is all about what gets the name out there and what gets the people talking about your brand. And it's fantastic to see Scott back and doing these types of launches to promote rallying. We're only a couple of weeks away now from the opening round of the championship in Canberra. And yeah, as we've seen, the entry list is starting to fill up and there's some top names on the list for this year.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Canberra because it's coming so quickly. And by the time that we get to Easter, we'll all of a sudden be trekking to Canberra. And it's a place that we know well, Peter, and it's a place that most of the Australian Rally Championship crews know well. So Make sure if you're near Canberra, if you live in Canberra, when you're listening to the podcast, head down, take a look. Spectating is free. The service park is free for you to look around. There's lots of things that are always happening there. Everybody loves asking and answering questions. So if somebody's at the service park and you want to have a chat to them, stick your head over the fence and have a look. Mechanics, co-drivers, drivers when they're not busy, team managers, everybody loves talking rallying. And if you want to learn more about it, I encourage you to head there and ask the questions and observe things and really learn part of the sport and particularly some of the aspects that we love, which is the driving, the co-driving, and really all other kinds of things for the sport.
Yeah, and Canberra is such a wonderful event to go to. I mean, it's easily accessible given that it's reasonably close to Sydney, relatively close to Melbourne, but the stages are all really accessible to the public in terms of getting the spectator points and things. And you go to Canberra for the weekend and you'll see some plenty of great action. And as you mentioned, get to have a really good look around the service park and see the latest cars. And obviously there'll be at least one brand new GR Yaris Rally 2 car that Harry Bates will be driving. So it'll be wonderful to see that up close and personal too.
And I can guarantee if you've never been to a rally before, you'll be impressed. Not only when you go to the service park to look at the cars and the machinery, but also on the stages, you'll be very impressed as to the skill and talent of those that are in the car and behind the wheel. Coming up next, though, on the podcast is a long interview with Lewis Bates, who has some great news. He announced the fact that he's going to be competing in WRC Rally Portugal later on in the season. We also talk in depth about his Rally 1 test that he completed with a Ford Puma Rally 1 at the end of last year and really some of the way that he describes that car and the abilities that it has was quite remarkable.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to listening to that chat, Luke. I haven't heard it yet. And Lewis, he's kicking some goals, isn't he? Obviously, he's already an Australian champion, and to be one of the very, very few people who have tested a Rally 1 car is really something to put on his resume, and it'll be great to see him get the opportunity to tackle the Rally of Portugal in a few months' time and see how he compares against the top guys overseas.
When I asked him about the amazing opportunity that he got, I mentioned the surnames of those who've driven World Rally cars and driven cars that are at the top level of the World Championship. Clearly his father did it. Possum Bourne, Chris Atkinson, Michael Guest. There's lots of names of Australians that have done it, and for him to join those names is quite impressive because it's rare nowadays, particularly for anybody to have the ability to do that. Yes, I'm sure there's lots of drivers in Australia that would be able to drive the car, but to not only have the budget to be able to do it and to have the support to test it, it's also simply getting in the door and having the chance to, because there's not many of these cars around.
No, and I think it's probably worth mentioning too that that Lewis is driving that car thanks to the backing of Luke Anear, who obviously is a competitor of some note in his own right, and for Luke to jump on board and help Lewis will be fantastic. But on the flip side of that, we've heard that Luke Anear won't be doing any Australian Championship events this year. His Ford Fiesta Rally 2 car is up for sale, so that'll be sad to see, but maybe we can expect to see Luke going back overseas and doing a few events there.
Let's hope so. We always like following the Australians over in the World Championship. We'll get the chance with Lewis Bates come Rally Portugal, but the more the merrier, I say, Peter.
Absolutely, yeah. And obviously we've got Taylor Gill coming up, and I think Croatia on the tarmac is his next event in the Junior World Rally Championship. So there's plenty of Aussie stuff going on overseas, and then clearly there's plenty of Aussies going over to the Otago Rally in the middle of next month.
That's for sure. Thanks for your time, Peter, and we'll speak to you next week.
Good on you, Luke.
Lewis, hello. Thank you for your time on the Special Stage podcast. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Luke. I'm well, thank you.
It's a big week of motorsport in Australia, and particularly where you are in Melbourne. I know you don't reside in Melbourne, but you're already there in anticipation for the Grand Prix. For you guys, it's one of the big weekends for the year because not only are you there as Toyota ambassadors, but there's some cool things that are going to be happening from just a general Toyota point of view.
Yeah, definitely. It's an exciting week of the year in Australia and for Australian motorsport. Formula One's obviously huge these days. It's grown massively since Drive to Survive. So yeah, we're fortunate enough to be down here, and Toyota are putting on an activation once again, similar to last year. And yeah, it's looking exciting. We're making a few improvements to the activation, so it should be a bit more interactive for everyone to come and join. And yeah, we're really looking forward to the weekend that lies ahead.
You must pinch yourself sometimes, because the amount of cool cars that Toyota have brought out since you've started driving for them in the Australian Championship, it's a pretty cool thing. Obviously, the Yaris, the Corolla, the Supra, they're all got that GR badge on them, and they must be nice to drive.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. Basically, since 2019, a lot of amazing cars have come through Toyota through the GR brand. So, yeah, definitely look back on it, and it's pretty amazing, the excitement and the amazing machinery that Toyota have produced in the last couple of years. And yeah, I've been fortunate enough to drive nearly every new Toyota car that's on the market, and definitely all the GR cars. And yeah, they're a lot of fun. Each one's got its individual quirks, and each one's an absolute joy to drive, so very lucky.
There's a few things on my mind to talk to you about today on the podcast, hence clearly getting you on here. You compete in the WRC later this year. You've got a new Rally 2 Yaris coming. I want to talk about tyres and a few other things as we look forward to the Rally of Canberra, which starts off your rally season. Well, at the top of the list, though, I've got to go back to last December, the Rally 1 test that you had in England. You drove a Ford Puma Rally 1, one of the fastest rally cars in the world, if not the fastest rally car. What an experience.
Yeah, it was an absolute incredible experience. It was a dream come true of mine. And I have to thank Luke and Safety Culture for that opportunity. Without them, that never would have happened. But it was an absolute joy to drive that car. And I probably got more kilometres than what I thought. So I have to thank M Sport for running us for the day. It was a proper loop. It was 7.5 kilometres long. And wow. In total, I think I got about 65 kilometres competitive. So, it was definitely more mileage than what I was expecting. And by the end of the day, once I came to grips with the car, I was really starting to enjoy myself. So it was an absolute pleasure.
And if you don't enjoy yourself on a day like that, it's pretty good experience. So to do that, you clearly don't write an email to Malcolm Wilson or give Malcolm a call himself. That goes through Luke, and obviously he's links with Safety Culture and sponsoring the World Rally Team. But particularly for you, does Luke approach you?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, a big part of it is Safety Culture sponsorship with M Sport, which they have a really good relationship. And I was fortunate enough to have a chat with Luke, and Luke organised it all, and we flew over to England, and we both drove the car for the day. So basically, we got half a day each in the car, and then at the end of the day, Luke did some tarmac testing around the circuit at the M Sport facility. So, I started the day in the car. It was tricky conditions, so I was a little bit nervous. It was obviously winter time over in England, and it was quite muddy, which is the traditional, conditions over in England. And there was obviously a few things to be nervous about, I really just wanted to make sure I enjoyed the experience. And the more I got confidence with the car, the better it all felt. So Malcolm Reed sat in the co-driver's seat for the day. Massive thank you to him. And overall, it was an absolutely incredible day and something I'll remember for the rest of my life.
As an Australian, it's rare that you get the chance to compete in a World Rally car, or a Rally 1 car for that matter. Your father, Neil Bates, clearly got the chance for a number of years to drive a Corolla World Rally car. New Zealander Possum Bourne drove in a World Rally car. Michael Guest drove a World Rally car. Chris Atkinson. Now to be on that list for you would be pretty cool. When you turn up to the test, when you see the car, when you sit in the car for the first time, what sort of things are going through your head? Are you trying to think, damn, I don't want to crash this thing, or how am I going to get a little bit more speed out of it, or how do I get more comfortable? When you say got there for the first 20 minutes, half an hour before you sped up the stage, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I wasn't really sure what to think, to be honest with you. I was obviously pretty conscious that I didn't want to put a mark on the car. But mainly I just wanted to make the most of the day and get the best out of myself. You know, I'd be disappointed in myself if I turned up there and didn't drive well. So I was pretty determined that I wanted to drive well. And especially on the back of Canberra, I got into a really good rhythm throughout Canberra. So I just wanted to continue that into the test. And to be honest with you, the car was quite nice to drive. It was, you know, it did everything extremely well. And the more you ask from it, the better it was, sort of thing. So I probably started off the day pretty cautious, especially considering the conditions. But yeah, definitely as the day went on, it was just, getting better and better, and it was so much fun. I started off the day in non-hybrid mode, just to get familiar with the car. And then, we introduced hybrid later in the day. And that was a whole nother level once again.
Yeah. Describe that for us, because many of the WRC drivers are talking about the insane speed off the line and the 10 or so seconds that they get with the hybrid power, and then clearly out of corners, particularly after long braking zones. What was that like for a layman and for a non-driver like myself? We're never going to be able to experience it, but can you put it in terms that are somewhat relatable?
Yeah, I can't relate it to a Rally 2 car at all, because it's just a whole nother world. Like, I honestly couldn't comprehend the speed. It feels like a rocket ship in the forest when you put your foot down on the throttle, especially with the hybrid. Basically they have a setup at M Sports in the throttle where you basically go 80% throttle is no hybrid, and then that last 20% introduces hybrid. So you're able to, they've got a mechanical setup, and you're able to feel when the when you go past that 80%, you're using the hybrid, and it's a massive boost, and you can really feel that extra speed going down the straight. So you're able to use it when you want to, which is nice. There are plenty of big braking zones that the test road we use, so I was able to regenerate, and we were able to have hybrid a lot of the time. So it was just an absolutely incredible experience.
Yeah, it's an amazing set of regulations, and unfortunately or fortunately, depending on the way you look at it, the hybrid cars are going to be no longer, and you and Luke might just be the only Australians to drive one. When you think about the way that the championship's moving forward on that front, and to think that you've driven a hybrid car, does it feel special to you, and do you think that the championship's going to go in the right sense? I know that you don't have a direct link to the World Rally Championship, particularly in the top class, but having driven one, do you think they're going away from something that's really, really good?
Yeah, obviously they have to look after the best interest of everyone. It's hard to say which way is better, in my opinion. It's very hard to say, but obviously the hybrid is an amazing bit of machinery, and when you either sit in one or drive one, it's just a whole nother world. So it will be sad to see them leave the championship, because they are just so cool. And I'm definitely going to miss them. But I understand the direction they're trying to head into, encourage more manufacturers and more competitors at the top level. For sure, it's going to reduce costs in the direction they're moving. And it will be disappointing to see the hybrids go.
The WRC in Portugal, you'll be on the entry list for that in a few months' time. The links that perhaps you created and grew through that Rally 1 test helped you to get that drive in Portugal. It's sort of the same way that I asked the question for the Rally 1 car. How did it come about? Because when I saw that come into my inbox last week, or might have been the week before, I was pretty surprised by it. So for you to be working on that in the background, was that something that took a long time? What were the sort of steps behind it?
First chats about Portugal was back in December. And basically on that England trip, we spoke about it, Luke and I. And originally Luke wanted to do it with me, so we were going to run two cars. Luke's just too busy at the moment with his company. Basically it quickly turned to me trying to find a way to do it. And it's been a lot of hard work over the last 2 months. But once again, I wouldn't be doing it without the support of Luke and Safety Culture. I've obviously had to find other support as well. It's that initial major sponsorship that's been able to make it happen. So it's exciting for sure. There's still a lot of things to be organized ahead of it, but yeah, it's something that I've dreamt of my whole life. And yeah, out of all the rallies on the calendar, Portugal was my pick. I think it's the most similar characteristics to Australia, the roads. If you look at most of the other events, they're either all about survival. And like, if you look at Greece and Sardinia, they are renowned to be so rough, and it becomes all about survival. And then if you look at some of the faster rallies like Finland, then they're so unique and specific. So Portugal seemed like the logical decision. Obviously, it's still going to be a really tough event, and it seems to have gotten rougher over the years. So it's still going to be an incredibly tough event, but really looking forward to it.
A huge challenge. The team's quite new, from what I understand. They ran Brian Bouffier at Rally Monte Carlo. That's going to be the same car that you'll drive, correct?
No, I'm actually driving a different car. So okay. I'm driving my own car in Portugal with E-Race running me. So basically, the car's finished in Finland, getting built in about 4 weeks from now.
Yep.
And then E-Race will go and pick it up from Finland and transport it to Portugal, and they'll run me for the weekend in Portugal, and then they'll ship it back to Australia after that. So, fortunate enough to do it in my own car with E-Race running me. So, it was sort of the smarter way to do it. There's not too many GR Yaris Rally 2 cars that are available for lease at the moment, because that was the first option I looked into.
Mm-hmm.
But, I've organised it all to do it in my own car.
Yeah. And then the step clearly comes down to you to Australia straight away. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So Western Australia will be round two of the championship, and that's the weekend directly after Portugal. So I'll do Western Australia in my AP4 car, and then the Rally 2 car will be here in time for round three, Queensland.
Fantastic. You guys in Canberra at Neil Bates Motorsport already have your hands on one Rally 2 car. That's going to be Harry's to start the season. What have you seen of that car? Clearly, you work at Neil Bates Motorsport, but as we mentioned right at the top, it's been a busy few weeks. What have you taken from the car, or what have you sort of observed of the car having it in your workshop?
The new car has arrived. I can't comment too much on the performance of it, because we haven't done a test yet. It's literally rolled into our workshop and we've got it ready for the Grand Prix straight away. But looking at it and going over everything, it's very nicely built. Toyota Gazoo Racing have done an absolutely incredible job. I'd probably go as far to say as it's the nicest Rally 2 car on the market. Everything's just finished so nicely, and everything's just so well refined, and they're an extremely nice build.
I'm assuming when you go to Portugal, just backtracking slightly, that you'll put in Harry's setup into your Rally 2, or will you try and get a test beforehand to try and get your own setup base for it? Do you have any learnings that you might be able to lean on for that?
Yeah, at the moment, we're obviously it's all pretty new, so we don't have a setup, but I'm definitely planning to test Harry's Rally 2 car after Canberra. Before I go over to Portugal, two reasons: obviously to get familiar with the car, and also to get familiar with the Pirelli tyre. I don't have much experience with the Pirelli. Basically, my first time on a Pirelli was in the Rally 1 Puma. So that's 65 kilometers on a Pirelli is not very much. So I'll do a day in Harry's car before Portugal, and try and find a setup to suit the Pirelli, because obviously Harry will be looking for a setup for the MRF tyre for Canberra.
Yeah, and when you go from tyre to tyre, the setup can be slightly different. Is that right? When you're talking about the performance of the tyre, you know, an MRF might not be the level of what a WRC Pirelli is, clearly, because they're two different tyres for two completely different types of events.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd say the setups will be quite different from MRF to Pirelli. Don't know exactly what will be different yet, but we'll find out. And I'd say it'll be reasonably different. Obviously, the Pirelli's a very good tyre and competes at the top level. And then the MRF's slightly different. We've still got a lot to learn about the MRF as well. Who knows? It could be closer than we think.
It might be. Staying on the tyre topic, you did a test in your AP4 car in February. How was that tyre, and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, tested the MRF tyre back in February. Yeah, it was a good day. Learned a lot from the tyre. It's definitely a big improvement from the 2019 MRF. They've obviously got two compounds this year, a soft and a medium. I honestly, by the end of the day, I was quite satisfied with how it all felt. The start of the day, the setup definitely needed a bit of work to suit the tyre. But yeah, we worked pretty much the whole day on getting the setup closer. I still think there's a little bit of work to do there. Still not 100% happy, but I do think we can get it in the window where we want it by the time Rally Canberra comes around.
Will you get another chance to test that one to really fine-tune that before Canberra?
Yeah, so we've got a test book for the 26th, which is next Tuesday. And I'll take my car out for a few runs just so we can get a bit of a comparison on my car versus Rally 2 car, because at the moment we have zero clue and we wouldn't mind a bit of data on that.
Yeah, for sure. When you're testing a brand new tyre like that, clearly you haven't run on the MRF for a number of years and it is a new tyre. How do you go from the start about testing it? Clearly you go out on the stage and you run it and you try and work out what's the best package for it and see how you're going to run it. But are you doing short runs, long runs? Are you adjusting pressures? Are you trying to match the suspension with the tyres that you're trying to drive on?
Yeah, that's right. A bit of a mixture of everything you said. We started out on the medium and then, adjusted a few things on the suspension and then we went to the soft, but I'd say it was a 33 degree day. So I'd say the temperatures were a bit warm for the soft. But yeah, the soft didn't feel too bad, to be honest. And then at the end of the day, we did a longer run to try and simulate a stage. And overall, it's everything that you expect on wear rates and everything. Big improvement from 2019. It's tricky to know because we obviously only tested it on one surface. So how it's going to go on other surfaces and then colder weather, I'm unsure at this point. But it wasn't too bad.
Traditionally, we haven't had a compound choice in the ARC, and there hasn't been a whole wide range of tyres that we can choose from. Clearly, it's a control tyre, so it's limited in that respect. But moving forward to 2024, do you think a choice between soft and a medium compound MRF will be a difference maker? And do you see yourself having a difficult choice during the year as which one to go on?
After driving on them both, they're reasonably similar. It's still very early, so it's hard to answer that. But I like the aspect of having two choices, to be honest with you. It mixes it up and makes it more interesting. There's definitely a few different scenarios people can play out. So, I'm definitely not against it. I think it adds a bit of excitement to the championship. It's obviously still very early days. So after Canberra, I might be able to answer that question a bit better.
And going to Canberra, when you prepare for it, it's obviously the same stages or very similar stages to what it was last November. How does your approach change from when you did it in November on those stages versus when you do it in April? There's a few months difference and it's the time of year that's clearly different as well. How do you approach it differently and how do you prepare differently?
Yeah, preparation for Canberra is going to be interesting because, we obviously did most of the stages, I'd say 90%, back in November. So, really going with the same mindset, going and push from stage one. It's always a tough event, Canberra, but, it'll be nice knowing we have the speed. We need to put it together for the whole weekend. Obviously, there's plenty of fast people this year, so it's going to be a massive challenge. I expect 5, 6, 7 people to be fighting for stage wins. So, it's going to be interesting and exciting at the same time. And I'm really looking forward to it. So, it'll be game on.
Sure will be. And from your point of view, being in the AP4 car for another year or at least another start to the year is something that's really going to be to your advantage because drivers are going to be in new cars. Clearly your brother's one of those, but you're in the same car. That's got to sort of sit well with you in regards to having the setup and having the confidence in that car that you've driven for so many years.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously it's a new tyre, so the setup might be slightly different, but all in all, I'm very I'm very confident in the car and very comfortable. So that'll be a slight advantage over some of the others. You know, Scott and Harry are both in new cars. So it's never 100% easy, but I expect Harry especially to be fast. You know, we've seen what the Rally 2 Yaris is capable of in early days this year. And yeah, I don't think it's going to be a slow car. So, yeah, we'll be pushing hard. We'll be flying the flag for Neil Bates Motorsports. I'm pretty keen to win Canberra, to be honest with you. It's one event we still haven't won, so we'll be pushing hard. We came so close last year, so yeah, I'd love to win it.
And it's such a hard event and overall such a hard sport, and it's probably one of the main reasons why we love it, because you've battled so hard throughout a whole rally weekend and you might fall agonisingly short like you did, unfortunately, in November. It's, yeah, just part of the many aspects and reasons why we do love it.
Yeah, exactly. I absolutely love Canberra. It's a massive challenge. And yeah, the roads are so rewarding when you get them right. And really, I've spoken to a few people, and especially Scott Petter, who's done Portugal before, and he says it's exactly like Canberra. It just reminds him of Canberra. So it will be good preparation for Portugal as well. And yeah, really looking forward to it.
It's going to be a big year for you. But thank you so much for your time, Lewis, and have a great weekend at the Australian Grand Prix this weekend. And we look forward to seeing you in action at the Rally of Canberra and clearly as things move forward throughout 2024 for you. So have a great year and we'll chat soon. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks, Luke. See you later.
Hey, it's Mozzie here. I don't have much experience when it comes to rallying, but Waukesha Racing Services does. And they're available now for your rally needs. They can help you with engines, design, paint, machining, fabrication. No job is too big or too small. There's CNC machines, 3D printers, a chassis build shop, and paint and engine shop that you can utilize. And you don't need to be an Aussie champion or factory back to be able to. From club to state to national level competitors and car owners, let Waukesha Racing Services help you with your rally needs. Call now on 1300 W Racing or email services@waukeshawracing.com.au.